Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Sharice Takur is advocacy coordinator at Amabungani Center for Investigative Journalism. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well, thanks. And thank you for having me on the show.
It's absolutely wonderful for you to be here. So we're talking about Jacob Zuma's tax records, and it's always an interesting conversation, something that we have to decide ahead of every show. What is in public, the public interest, and what is just interesting for the public? So the example that I just used, when the Moti brothers were kidnapped, we might have been interested in the story, and of course we were. We were all praying for their return, but our need for information sat very low down in terms of level of importance. What was important for the boy was for the boys to come home. Now I think it is important. Take us through the Jacob Zuma tax records and your thinking around why it's important now for us to have that information and that information to be known.
The distinction that you made there is very important. Between what's interesting and what's in the public interest.
Mm.
Something that's in the public interest is really something that has an impact on our rights, or the potential to impact on our rights, and the free exercise of our democratic expression. So in this case, Jacob Zuma's tax records are in the public interest, and this is for a number of reasons. You will recall Jacques Poe's book, The President's Keepers. In that book, there were several allegations about alleged tax impropriety by former President Zuma while he was head of state. Things like potentially receiving or allegedly receiving illicit funds from sources such as Russian oligarchs and the Gupta family, the failure to submit tax records for while he was president. And these are matters that are very important because it speaks to the character of the person who was president at the time. And if you also look in relation to how SARS was dealt with, by placing Tom Mayane into that position, there was this systematic, almost undermining of SARS and its ability to collect revenue, which is its purpose. So this is why all of these things, they are potentially, if these allegations are true, they're potentially all connected. And so this is why it is in the public's interest to know, was former President Zuma up to date with his taxes? Did he comply with the law?
And surely it would also be a very clear message to future leaders that you please don't think that you can hide behind this type of privacy if you're in office and there are these allegations made.
Indeed, and it's not necessarily just president.
Mm.
So I want to emphasize that the test that will be applied, which is the public interest override test contained in the Promotion of Access to Information Act, is quite a narrow test. It's not going to, your tax records or mine are not going to be made, subject to disclosure because of this High Court judgment. Rather, the High Court even applies to members of the executive. And that makes sense. It's not going to be all of them, but obviously if the test is satisfied, people in positions of power.
Mm. So it really is. It's so interesting because I had a conversation a number of weeks ago, not that successful, with the Jacob Zuma Foundation. And one of the questions I put to them is, we were talking about his medical parole. And I said, surely given the fact that he was a former president, given the fact that there are allegations of all sorts of things made against him, wouldn't it be important to disclose and to let the public know as to what his condition is? And well, we didn't really get into the conversation because they started shouting at me that I'm biased and all sorts of agenda driven, which I am. I'm just trying to understand and have a conversation. So that is my agenda. And of course, I think that we need to have that information. Is there a line between what is publicly important, for example, the tax records, which I would imagine absolutely are, because tax record speaks to financial corruption, and that's really what we're all trying to figure out. We've had commissions of inquiry. We've spent billions of rands trying to figure this out. Surely that's another indicator. So I would imagine it's that important. But are there lines that we shouldn't cross in this regard?
Yes, you know, that former President Zuma is a person. He has rights as well, including his right to privacy. But what the High Court did, and what is important to remember, is that rights have to be balanced against each other. So in one instance, you've got his right to privacy, and SARS would argue the rights of all taxpayers to get confidentiality of their tax information. But on the other hand, it has to be balanced against the right of access to information in the public interest. And the previous position, or position before this judgment, was that there was, you know, there was blanket confidentiality. It was impenetrable. You couldn't there was no reason that you could advance to obtain a record. But now there's this public interest override test, which looks at things these are quite substantial legal hurdles to overcome. So it's not going to be everybody. This is not going to apply to everyone. But it's things like the disclosure would reveal evidence of a substantial contravention of the law, or there's a threat of imminent harm. And then also, very importantly, the public interest in the disclosure of the record must clearly outweigh the harm contemplated in the provision, which in this case would be, you know, the effect on privacy. So it's quite a high bar to meet. And in this case with former President Zuma, it was met. That's what the High Court found. And that is already precedent. And now it goes to see, you know, in what other circumstances may this legal test apply.
Do you think it'll be upheld?
We think so, yes. I think it's a very good judgment. It's well reasoned, followed on the law. So we suspect that SARS is going to appeal and continue to advance the reasons that they did. But you know, for us, it's a strong vindication of you know, the importance of access to information. Rights are not subordinate. As I said, they have to be balanced against each other. So we think it's correct in that sense.
What would SARS have to gain from stopping this?
So a major argument that SARS put forward was that the very basis of the tax system relies on this confidentiality between the taxpayer and SARS. They say that in exchange, it's a compact, they call it, in exchange for the taxpayer being full and frank with the information that they provide, SARS will absolutely guarantee their confidentiality. But the High Court dismissed that argument, and they said the reason why taxpayers comply with the law is the pain of criminal sanction. It's a crime to lie on your tax return. It's a crime to conceal sources of income, and it's a crime to not pay your taxes. So this is the reason why people comply, not necessarily this confidentiality. So that was an important distinction in our view.
Mm. It's so incredible that, you know, when we look at the importance of this type of journalism and these types of actions, it's really, when we think about it, there's two reasons that we've even kind of survived the Jacob Zuma period. And one is journalists and investigative journalists like yourselves, and the other is the Constitutional Court. Those are the two pillars, I think, that has helped us get through all of this, and it's an absolute responsibility and a vital role that both of these organizations are playing, have played.
Absolutely. And you'll see in the judgment as well, these two institutions working together, where the media has litigated before to preserve its access to information rights and the rights to media freedom. And in this judgment, it's very you know, gratifying to see that precedent being drawn upon, like the Mail and Guardian versus Tuesday case, the John Conk communications case. Those are important cases that really just ensure that there's a strong layer of protection around media freedom for the purposes that you just mentioned, you know, the media being able to hold those in power to account.
Absolutely. Shariz Thakur, Advocacy Coordinator at Amabungani Center for Investigative Journalism, thank you for joining us.